You've just completed your XO time or company command time and are all ready to move on to the captain's career course or your broadening assignment. The choices you make now will have a direct impact on your future. One of the many broadening assignments that has a considerable amount of notoriety is a Project Warrior program. On this episode, we sit down with a Project Warrior alumni, Major Gary Klein, and discuss the program in detail so that you can make a more informed decision about your future career. This is the Leaders Huddle Podcast, Episode 39. Everything you need to know about Project Warrior. Welcome to the Leaders Huddle Podcast. Through this podcast, our goal is to educate and inspire the current generation of company-grade officers through advancing the discussion of leadership, professionalism, and building high-performing organizations. I'm your host for today's episode, Captain Micah Klein. Today, co-hosting the episode with me is Captain David Laura, and with us today is Major Gary Klein. Major Gary Klein was commissioned as an armor officer in 2007. Following the Armor Officer Basic Course in Ranger School, he served as a tank platoon leader and tank company executive officer in 1st Cavalry Division. In 2012, he was assigned to the 101st Airborne Division Air Assault, where he served as a cavalry troop and headquarters troop commander. Following command, he was selected for the Project Warrior program, serving first as an observer coach trainer at the Joint Readiness Training Center, and then as a small group leader at the Maneuver Center of Excellence. Gary is now a student in the U.S. Army's School of Advanced Military Studies at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. Gary, welcome to the podcast. We appreciate you coming.
Hey, thanks for inviting me here today. I look forward to this episode.
All right, so we're going to get right into it. So Project Warrior has gained a fair amount of notoriety over the past several years. I actually remember when I was finishing up my first year of company command, and my battalion commander sat down and talked to me, and he asked me what I wanted to do with my post-broadening captain's time. And I asked him about the competitiveness that I would have for the Project Warrior program. Obviously, we're having this conversation, so I didn't end up going that route. However, I was extremely interested. So for those listeners out there, Gary, who are interested and maybe have heard about the program but don't know a whole lot about it, can you please give us a familiarization of what the program is and then the three ways that one might enter the Project Warrior pipeline?
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of the bottom line up front with the program is that the Project Warrior program, it's a broadening opportunity for post-command captains that couples two typically, independent broadening assignments, which is service as an observer, coach, trainer, better known as an OCT, at a combat training center, and then secondarily as a small group leader at the captain's career course. This really, it's the combination of the two typically standalone broadening assignments because it allows the individual officer in the Army to kind of maximize the transfer of experience and lessons learned from the operational Army to the students in the institutional Army. Namely, again, as a CTC OC, you're able to observe lessons learned, and then you're able to transfer those into the institutional Army where you've got, those officers who just completed XO time, staff time, going off to the captain's career course, and just continue to infuse lessons learned between those two programs. That's kind of the brief overview of what the program is itself and some of the reasons why it's so important and some of the value of it. But the three ways to enter it is what they call essentially three cohorts. So there's cohort one. Cohort one is any of the officers out there who are still lieutenants or newly promoted captains. Before they go off to the career course, battalion commanders can nominate lieutenants and, again, junior captains within their battalions. And this really all it does at this point in time is it helps the branch managers at HRC develop a list of potential Project Warrior candidates. So you're not formally in the program yet, but you essentially get nominated by your battalion commander and you get put what I believe is more or less on a list at HRC where you will now be looked at in the future as a potential candidate, and they'll keep in touch with you as it relates to the Project Warrior program. Cohort two, so even those within cohort one have to go through the cohort two process, and even those who did not enter at the cohort one process, you can also enter during the cohort three time period, or correction, cohort two time period. But cohort two is now post-company command. The brigade commander, your brigade commander, can now nominate KD complete captains to become an OC at a CTC. So again, this is kind of the second entry point into the program. However, at this point in time, officers are still essentially just a Project Warrior candidate. You go off to the CTC, you become an OCT, and then you have essentially what is Cohort 3. And this is when an officer at this point in time goes from being a Project Warrior candidate to an actual, what they title a Project Warrior officer, where the different commanders of the operation groups at the CTCs nominate officers to become formally Project Warrior officers and to serve as small group leaders at their respective captain's career course. And I continue to use the generic term captain's career course because this is really, you know, any branch and every branch out there more or less has a Project Warrior program to it. And you would go to the captain's career course typically of your proponent branch, be that, you know, the maneuver captain's career course for armor infantry officers, logistics career course, MI career course. All the different branches have a Project Warrior program that you would go to your respective captain's career course.
That's pretty cool. Sounds confusing, but it makes sense, obviously. I do have a question, a follow-up question to that. What originally piqued your interest in the Project Warrior program?
Yeah, so, I mean, the Project Warrior program was, I thought, a great opportunity to continue to give back to the community. So, you know, I had just been in command, and Project Warrior really was coming back into existence while I was in command. So I didn't know a whole lot about it, other than the fact of essentially what it entailed, and that is to be a small group leader at the Captain's Career Course and also the Observer Coach Trainer at the Combat Training Centers. And I'd heard great things about both of those assignments. You know, there's advantages and disadvantages to every broadening opportunity out there, but I knew that those two programs in particular were both things that I was interested in. And then I started hearing about kind of the way that they symbiotically worked with one another within the Project Warrior program to infuse lessons learned between the two. And I just continued to become more interested as I realized kind of the benefits of participating in both of those assignments. And so that's really what drew me to it. I was already interested in the two individual assignments, but to couple them together made me even more interested in it.
Yeah, like that best of both worlds concept. You get to do a little bit of both if maybe you're thinking, if you're averaging between two of them. So I do have one more follow-up question, and that is it possible to drop out of the Project Warrior program?
Yeah, so I don't know of anyone who's formally dropped out of the program in a formal sense, but I do know that the program is quite competitive. So I mentioned, and to kind of maybe clean up a little bit of the confusion that I infused by talking about three separate cohorts, you're essentially nominated into the program where you have to go through three different selections, essentially, or at a minimum, at least two of them. And so at each of those selections, I mean, the officer obviously is meeting with their senior aider, is talking to their human resource rep or their branch manager at HRC. And so if at any point in time an officer wanted to drop out of the program because of the competitive nature of it, I'm sure an officer could. Because again, there are more, and that's one of the, I guess, the unspoken truths about it from the front end, is that within cohort two, so the Army will send more officers to become OCTs than will get selected to be sent as an SGL. So if you essentially opted out of that next level selection, there are plenty of other officers who are trying to compete to go into the final cohort three, such that, you know, although, like I said, there's not a formal dropping out of the program, if you stated the fact that you didn't want to compete for the next level, then you would essentially withdraw your name from the competition. So, I mean, in a roundabout way, yes, you can, although there's not necessarily a formal dropping out of the program.
Awesome. Thank you.
Hey, this is David. I just have a question for you about kind of some things that you mentioned before, about some things you learned from these two, you know, similar broadening experiences, being an OC and being a group leader. But I'm interested to know from you, what other professional development do you receive from these assignments? How do you feel you developed through this program?
Yeah, so the first thing I'll do is I'll address kind of the two pieces individually, and then I'll talk about some of the things that are common, I think, to both of them. As an OC, as an OCT, so I went to JRTC, was where I served in terms of the CTC first portion of the Project Warrior program. But I'm sure that this experience is common, whether you're going to JRTC, NTC, JMRC, or even First Army is the fourth option. So First Army is included within this as it relates to what's typically considered ACRC assignments. They are also a part of the Project Warrior program, any officer serving in that. So from that first half of the Project Warrior program, the OCT, I mean, the biggest thing, in my opinion, was essentially broadening your experience. So you'll have just, at this point in time, completed company command, and you've obviously experienced a lot of things in your year and a half, your 2 years, however long it was you served in command. But it was one organization. And obviously, there are many organizations out there in the Army, and each one of them is unique, not just kind of culturally because of the organizations, but because of different leadership and skills and abilities of each organization as well. So experience as an OC was awesome in being able to see so many other units, being able to see so many other commanders, so many other staffs, and you really get to broaden your experience. And I can almost kind of use an analogy in the sense that it's almost like a learning through reading history is one way that people talk about trying to accumulate experience. But this is almost an interactive history, if you will, because you are there during the execution of a combat training center rotation, and you are not necessarily interacting with what's going on, but you're constantly coaching, teaching, mentoring the training unit that is going through that rotation, and you're getting to see lots of different experiences of other commanders. You're getting to kind of study decision making. You get to see a little bit, although I'm hesitant to call it straight causality, but you know, different decisions cause different things. There's each decision also has some contingency, and that each, you know, situation in each environment is unique. But you get to see, you know, repetitions of decision making, repetitions of people executing the various activities, you know, offense, defense, stability operations, whatever operation it is that you happen to be OCing. So you get to broaden your experience base just on seeing other units and helping them, coaching, teaching, and mentoring them. And throughout that process, you're continuing to accumulate, you know, tactics, techniques, and procedures that you're seeing those units go through. So I've got a hard drive of just numbers of different TTPs that I've seen units use, you know, took digital copies or borrowed digital copies from those units, was able to take photos of things, take, you know, lots of notes of things that I saw happening. So that was kind of one of the huge advantages, I think, of being an OCT. Now going to the second half of the program, you now get to kind of compare your experience, or again, using the analogy of history, you can compare that experience in history to doctrine. So you read a fair amount of doctrine as an OC. Obviously, you're trying to use that as a foundation to help coach, teach, and mentor the individual units that are going through and your counterparts there. But now as an SGL, you really focus on doctrine because that's the foundation of your instruction as a small group leader. And you get to compare some of your history, some of your experience with that doctrine and continue to understand, you know, maybe a little bit of why doctrine came about that way, some of the strengths and weaknesses of the actual application of doctrine based on your breadth of experience and observations, and now teaching it in depth as an SGL. And then additionally, as an SGL, you get to work a lot on your counseling skills. I mean, you're working a lot with, again, your senior lieutenants or newly promoted captains, and you're helping those individuals work through some of their own, you know, career advice. You're providing a lot of them. You're helping coach those, again, relatively junior officers to work through and build on their own skills and expertise. And so you do a lot of counseling one-on-one with the students while you're an SGL. And then kind of in common between both of them as an OCT and as an SGL, I mean, you're working on your leadership skills. We often talk about, you know, direct leadership, and that's very important at the lower level. But as you continue to work up, you're looking more and more at organizational level leadership. And again, your coaching, your teaching, your mentorship skills become more and more important. And you use those throughout both of these halves of the Project Warrior program. You know, coaching and teaching the different rotational training units that are at the CTC, coaching and teaching your students when you're in the classroom as an SGL. And again, common throughout all this time, when I talk about kind of comparing your experience, history, doctrine, you have a lot of time to reflect in both of these two assignments as well, which really allows you to kind of internalize some of the lessons learned that you had, again, in command, that you're adding on to that as an OCT and as an SGL. And I use a lot of that reflection time to kind of write and publish and really solidify your ideas and have the time to reflect on it. And so there's a lot of advantages that I just listed to kind of the two programs individually, OCT and as a SGL. And then there's a lot of things in common that I saw as a huge advantage going through the Project Warrior Officer pipeline.
Wow, I think you're selling everyone on this. So if I can just capture a couple of those that really stood out to me, of the breadth and depth of experiences there, counseling, coaching, mentoring, really three separate things, but I can definitely see how you'd hit on those different experiences. And then the organizational leadership of both experiencing it and seeing it. But that's really fantastic. Thanks for wrapping that up for us.
Yeah, Gary, it's funny. I want to say that when I first heard about this program that the First Army was not part of it. I thought it was just the CTCs. I could be wrong. Please correct me if I'm wrong. But I think that would be an incredible opportunity for now ex-company commanders to learn about the total Army concept and be partnered up with our Reserve and National Guard counterparts and learning about Project Warrior and everything from it, or the total Army from that perspective.
Yeah, so I don't know the full details of it, but I don't believe it was First Army was included in the first and second iteration of the Project Warrior program. So from what I understand, the Project Warrior program came back, I think, in fiscal year 13, I believe, is when the first cohort was brought back up again. And when I say brought back up again, I know that it was a program that before 9/11, there was a Project Warrior program as well. But the timelines of broadening experience in the back end kind of shortened, and so it put some strain on the program, and it kind of disappeared for a little while. But yeah, I don't think in 13 and 14 the selection included First Army, but it started to in 2015 that I'm aware of in terms of when it came back. And yeah, I had one officer who served with me as an SGL who went through that particular pipeline, was a First Army OCT. And so, yeah, it's broadened, and it's absolutely a good thing, like you said, because you get to continue to gain additional perspectives. And some of your students as an SGL are within the Reserve National Guard component as well. So continuing to just build upon the breadth of experience across the total Army is absolutely a good thing.
Yeah, that's awesome. That is so cool. All right, so I want to transition to our next question, which is what advice would you give to our listeners who might be considering the program? When is a good time to think about it? I know that, as you mentioned, there are a number of different entry points or cohorts for younger officers and those that are actually currently serving as CTCOCs. I know this is going to be a long question, so feel free to break it down however you would like. Are you pigeonholing yourself into a certain career course of action by opting in early? And who is the ideal candidate, in your opinion, for this program?
All right, so there's really three times when you can think about entry into the program, and they really line up with, like I mentioned, the cohort 1, 2, and 3. So you can get into the program in cohort 1, like I mentioned, when you're just completed your first assignment as a platoon leader, as staff officer, as a company XO, you can enter into cohort 1 at that point in time. Again, that is not the only point that you can enter the program. So if you were to enter at that program, again, it gets you on a list, and you have now expressed your interest in the program. But I again, based on your question as it relates to, you know, withdrawing from the program, I don't think it pigeonholes you, because you can still opt, I believe, and again, I don't have the experience to do this, but if you were to speak to your branch manager and now you have kind of a change of heart and some other things maybe happened in your family life, your personal life, or if something else happened in terms of, you know, maybe some kind of a nominative assignment or something, like, it does not necessarily put your career path in concrete in terms of where you are going. So I do not believe it pigeonholes you in any way, shape, or form to enter into cohort 1. You're really just kind of expressing your interest. And I say that, you know, somewhat lightheartedly, but obviously if you're starting to put your name in the hat to get into cohort 1, you should obviously not take that lightheartedly either. Because as with anything, when you're talking to people, if you sign up in interest in something and then later withdraw to something, you know, that kind of has its own connotations as well. There's not negative preference per se, but you don't want to be necessarily the person who cries sheep either. So you're not pigeonholing yourself, but I would take the decision seriously if you do get it in, you enter into the program during cohort one. Now, during cohort two is, again, the second time about it. So if you did not opt into the program during cohort one, you can do so again after or during your time in company command. And that's when I entered the program, just to kind of, you know, bring that kind of light out there. Like, you are not obligated to, you know, cohort one are not the only people who get into the pipeline, I guess I would clarify there. So you can get in again during cohort two while you're in company command to go off to an OCT. But then again, there is a third entry point as well. So I also know people who did not enter during cohort one or cohort two, but competed for cohort three when they got to the CTC and was still able to, you know, go through the full Project Warrior pipeline. So again, there are three points in time when you can enter it. So it's a good time to talk about it really at any point in those times. And I think the earlier you enter your name into the pipeline, I would be willing to say it's probably more likely that you're going to go through, because you've shown consistent interest and you continue to learn more about it, and you're going to start getting involved with your brigade commander discussions about getting into the program. And so you're probably more likely to go through the full program the earlier you express your intent. However, there are three points in time when you can enter into the program. In terms of an ideal candidate, I think it, you know, I don't know that there's necessarily an ideal candidate. It's really, you know, anyone who's willing and interested and is excited about those two assignments that I mentioned, being both a observer coach trainer at a CTC and a small group leader at a captain's career course. So I don't know that I'll go so far as to say that there is an ideal candidate. Just to have enthusiasm and the experience base to be able to participate in those two programs would make you an outstanding OC and SGL and Project Warrior officer, I think.
Yeah, those are all great, great value points. Thank you.
Okay, so you brought up some of the Project Warrior officers and, you know, what they're doing now. Just kind of interested in how many were in your cohort, in the final cohort that you're with, and what are they doing now? And if you can also address kind of the timeline, you know, as folks are leaving company command, they only have a couple of years left before, you know, considering going to school or hitting the 10-year mark. So if you can address that too, as you're discussing your other folks from your cohort, what is the timeline like, and does that really push back when you go to ILE or have options for SAMs later on?
Yeah, so in terms of total number who are in my cohort, so I don't know that 100% certainly, because I'll kind of go through again the pipeline maybe one more time to try to clarify that a little bit. So when I was at JRTC, that I know of, there were three people who were interested in going the second half of the Project Warrior program and formally becoming Project Warrior officers. So we were all OCTs at JRTC, and it's selected by branch. And so when I say three, that's three armor officers. So there were certainly, you know, other guys who went, you know, through the infantry branch, who went through the signal branch. I know people who've gone through the Project Warrior program, but there were three armor officers. And each year is going to depend really on some of the branch preferences. So there were three of us at JRTC, and one of us was selected to go on to the Project Warrior program. But I know NTC was able to get two people or two armor officers who went into the Project Warrior program that year. And then additionally, there was one from GMRC that year. So again, the total number across the three CTCs, I do not know the total number who are competing, but I know that at JRTC in particular, three were competing, one was selected, and four were selected across the three CTCs. Again, I caveat that with the fact that in my particular cohort year, there were not any First Army selectees, but I know the cohort after me, there was one. So in terms of kind of the next step now, so of the four who were selected in my particular year group, I know that, you know, all of us went to CGSC at the same time, so we were all selected for resident CGSC. And since then, two of us applied to and were selected to stay here at SAMS, which is where I'm at currently, the School of Advanced Military Studies. And then two of the four have went from CGSC and went straight back out to the Operational Army. I know one of them's on division staff at the 1st Infantry Division, and I know one of them went out to 2CR in Germany and is now a battalion XO.
Thank you. I'm also kind of curious in that how the follow-on assignment works after, you know, attending CGSC. I'm an MI officer, so at one point the Project Warrior program was pitched as something to prepare you to be a very effective Brigade S2. So I'm just curious if there's a way that is considered for the follow-on assignment, or is there ASI that goes with that to identify you for this position after completing ILE?
So yeah, there's not a formal ASI for the Project Warrior officer. However, there is a comment, or basically a note, put in the additional remarks section of your ORB. So your participation and selection for the program is annotated in the special remarks portion of your ORB. And that is something that, so how that then affects your assignments post CGSC, the biggest thing I would mention is just the fact that, again, when you're at CGSC, you do interviews with the various division chiefs of staff and other senior leaders within the divisions. And those are things that, you know, you can use to help market yourself, both based on, like you mentioned, the experience base, because the Project Warrior program is very tactically based, and you develop a lot of tactical expertise based on all those experiences and observations that you get as an OC and kind of the grounding and doctrine as an SGL. So you can definitely personally sell those points, and it is a good selling point, I believe, to the various interviews that you go through at CGSC. And then the interviewers typically have copies of your ORB, and it is something that I had a few people kind of notice when I was going through, that they would notice that additional remark in my ORB. So again, you can use it to sell yourself, but it does gain some attention during your assignment process. Again, it doesn't lock you into anything. I mean, as with any assignments process, it's going to be a whole armory or whole officer approach to things in terms of other considerations as it relates to, you know, deployment history, your evaluations, your academic performance. I mean, all these things are selected. So Project Warrior in and of itself doesn't guarantee any particular pathway. However, it does definitely lead to kind of additional tactical expertise, and it is, I think, a good selling point for the interviews for post-CGSC assignments.
Sweet. Thanks, Gary. I have a question that I'm sure that there are people out there that are thinking and maybe yelling right now at their device saying, ask this question. So hopefully this is one of them. I was just wondering, for those cohort one officers, the junior officers that enter as a, you know, someone who has high potential for this program, to what degree are they able to influence what CTC they go to?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So when you get selected to go to a CTC, or you get selected as cohort two, it's really not that much different than if you were not a Project Warrior program. So when you're going to a CTC, there's no preferential treatment of Project Warrior candidates over anybody else who's going to a CTC. So it's going to be, you know, a typical HRC assignment process. You as an officer are going to have preferences that you're going to state and provide to your branch manager. But then there's also needs of the Army, and then there's your own officer experience and skills. So one of the things, you know, going to JRTC is that the majority of the OCs, or at least a lot of the OCs at JRTC, are airborne qualified. So if you are already airborne qualified, like, that may be a particular experience or an ASI, as we kind of talked about earlier, that may kind of steer you towards going to JRTC, is that airborne experience. But it's a combination of all those things. It's your experience previously, it's your preferences that you've stated to your branch manager, and it's needs of the Army. And that, you know, one particular year, one CTC may simply need more OCs than the other two do, or again, going to First Army. So you go through a regular HRC assignment process, as far as I'm aware.
Okay, cool. That's good to know. Very good. So one last question, and that question being, what advice or tips would you offer to our listeners who might be debating about the program but are not quite sure about it? How would you push them across the line to do it or advise them against it?
Yeah, so again, kind of going back to the response that I gave to an ideal candidate, you know, I'm hesitant to necessarily recommend one post-company command broadening assignment over another, because there's a lot of great opportunities out there. I mean, there's Project Warrior, which we're talking about now. You can go, you know, the OCT or the SGL route individually. ACRC, you know, West Point instructor, ROTC instructor, recruiting. There's so many great opportunities out there. And I think it's fair to say that each one of those broadening opportunities has its own strengths and weaknesses, both professionally and personally, as it might relate to family goals. So kind of some of the argument that I've given up to this point in time in terms of the biggest advantage, I believe, to the Project Warrior program is really the breadth and depth of the tactical experience that it provides to an officer. Again, as an OC, as an SGL, you're seeing tons of experiences of others while you're at the CTC. You're developing and really kind of gathering TTPs from units. You're getting to see decision making repeatedly and trying to understand what things work well, what things work not so well, environments and how those affect the decision making. So that's the biggest advantage is really, I think, the tactical expertise that it provides to the officer. If I were then to kind of balance this, because all decisions are balanced, the biggest disadvantage or the biggest challenge, maybe I'd just state of the Project Warrior program, is that, I mean, you do incur an additional PCS. While most officers who go off to become just an OCT or just an SGL will probably be at that assignment for, you know, anywhere from 2 to 4 years, depending on their individual timeline, the Project Warrior program does require a minimum of 3 years from the time of completion of KD time till when you do go off to ILE. And let's just say that you do get there and 3 years is the amount of time that you have. You essentially have two assignments that are only 18 months long. So there's an additional PCS in there that, you know, certainly provides potentially some additional family challenges. And so that's maybe the biggest disadvantage is just the fact that you do incur some additional PCSs that a lot of your peers won't.
Okay, well, thanks again, Major Klein. Is there anything else that you'd like to, you know, close out with us or anything else that we haven't asked today?
Yeah, so I guess one of the things that I probably should have caveated off at the very beginning of all this, so I'm certainly not an HRC assignment officer. I've definitely shared kind of my opinions from having gone through the program. But one of the best things that you should probably do if you're interested in the program is to go and find the individual MILPER message as it relates to the current Project Warrior pipeline. So the current one, give me just a second. The current MILPER message is 17-083. However, obviously that will, each year they renew that MILPER message, which provides some additional information as it relates to the program. So, you know, definitely read that MILPER message that's pertinent to your particular year. Have a conversation with your battalion, your brigade commander, your branch manager as it relates to the particular details. Because, again, like I've mentioned here and like Micah brought up earlier in the podcast, like the program has changed during the first 2 years. There was not First Army participation that I'm aware of, but now there definitely is. So you need to look into the official messages as it relates to the program and the branch managers. Obviously, one of the next best places, along with the MILPER message, to gain information about the program. But then additionally, I want to just highlight, there are two, you know, in addition to just my own perspective, if you're interested in the Project Warrior program, some additional articles that you might be interested in is if you go to Armor Magazine's January-March 2015 edition, you'll see an article from Lieutenant Colonel Budhas, Captain Humphrey and Captain Pitkin. Captain Humphrey and Captain Pitkin were also participants in the Project Warrior program. The title of the article is called Project Warrior, Bridging the Gap Between the Operational and Institutional Army. That's a great article about the Project Warrior program, provides some additional perspectives. And it was also reprinted in the April and June 2015 Infantry Magazine article. And then I would... So I just maybe recommend kind of those two articles and just getting online and trying to find additional resources to gain some more breadth in terms of the different opinions that are out there and the different experiences of the pipeline. Because it's a great program, but each individual's experience is probably going to be a little bit different depending on the CTC that they go to, depending on the individual captain career course that they go to, and obviously all the leaders that they serve with throughout that pipeline.
Okay, thank you for that resource. And I know this is what we talked about today is really just a snippet of what you've committed to the Caldwell folks here and to the organization and junior officers overall. How can our listeners connect with you and find some more stuff that you've written over the years?
Yeah, no, it's been great contributing to this community. Caldwell does a great service, I know, both to the cadets there at West Point, but then with this podcast in particular, you're reaching, you know, continued audience within the company command community. And so I just want to say thank you very much for inviting me back to the podcast here again. I love contributing to the community, the professionalism of Army officers. You can get in touch with me a number of different ways. So I'm on Twitter. It's at Gary M. Klein. And then the next best way, I mean, you can certainly look me up as it relates to on AKO. You can look me up on email there officially. Those are some of the easier ways as it relates to, you know, my material that's out there. I already referenced my Small Wars journal. I mean, I guess the easiest way would just be to reach out to me, but I'm a frequent contributor to Armor Magazine. And I would encourage along those lines, really everyone else to think about, you know, their own time and experiences and reflect on them. Because I don't know that to be humble about my own writing, I don't know that I necessarily reveal a lot of things that are groundbreaking. Lots of people have gone through the similar experiences that I have, but writing is a great opportunity to reflect on things. And so if anything, hopefully you can just see some different experiences from my writing. But yeah, connect with me through Twitter or through global email, and I'd love to start up a conversation as it relates to leader development, or if someone's just interested in my experiences at a Project Warrior program, I can certainly share my experiences and make some personalized recommendations based on each individual person's own experience.
All right. Thanks again for the offer. Until we'll see you next time. So this wraps up today's Leaders Huddle podcast. You can connect with us at iTunes. We're also on Google Play platform. We want to hear from you, our listeners, on the topics you would like us to discuss. So please leave a comment on iTunes or through the sponsored Facebook page through Caldwell, which is the JO forum or company command, or through our Twitter handle, which is COCMD, it's company command. Until next time, remember that elevating your performance and unleashing your potential as a leader takes intentionality and the humility to learn from others. The views expressed in the Leaders Huddle podcast are the opinions of the hosts and guests. The discussion shared here does not represent the official position of the United States Military Academy or the U.S. Army.